You're listening to a sermon from Heights Church, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more information on our church, please visit heightschurchmn.org.
We're going to look today at John 11, and again, we're preparing for Messiah. We're preparing for Easter. This is Jesus' time where he's revealing himself as both God and man, and Messiah, and the one that's going to come and set us free. And John 11 is one of those texts that's really gorgeous when you get into it. But it is, for me, as I read this week, I just saw the collision of kingdoms. Because if you look at, like, Jesus in this passage, I think of, like, a quarterback that sees the whole field, right? He sees where he's going. He knows the play. He called it. He's headed in a direction. He's looking from where he's at, and he's got all his players where he wants them, and he knows what he's doing. And Jesus, in this whole passage, has got this kingdom perspective on death and on resurrection and on what's happening in the situation. And the whole play of his entire life is he knows, like, where he's at in the timeline of when he's going to die on the cross. I mean, Jesus has got the whole picture, and he's trying to lay it out for all these people that can see nothing but the few feet in front of them. And the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and how he sees everything collides with humanity in this passage. And it starts out with us. It starts out with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Lazarus gets sick, because on earth we get sick. And Mary and Martha do what you're supposed to do when people get sick. They call for Jesus. Just like we know, right? We're sick, so it's time to pray. And so they call for Jesus. And Jesus is seeing the long game. And he hears that he's sick. And he goes, well, this isn't going to end in death. In fact, this is going to be my practice shot. This is going to be my resurrection before the resurrection. This is going to be, I'm going to hang out. I'm going to chillax for a couple days, and I'm going to stay here. Because if I just go and heal him, they've seen me heal people 1,000 times. I'm going to hang here, and I'm going to let him die, but then I'm going to go raise him. And then my guys will see that I'm capable of that. And then later, when the big resurrection, the real resurrection, is coming, they'll know, because I will have given them a sneak peek, and we'll all be on the same track, right? And he's got it all planned. Now, meanwhile, Mary and Martha are watching their brother die. Mary and Martha are women at this time who are losing the only man in their life that is able to work and get them food and have them own a house. All of the things that they depend on in life for everything that they are, they're watching it die. And they've done what they're supposed to do, and God doesn't come, because Jesus sees the long game. And he hangs out for a couple days, and then he says, okay, time to go. We're going to head back to Judea. And in come the disciples. And my favorite disciple shows up, Thomas. Now, Peter has some idiot moments in the Bible. But Thomas, if you've ever watched Friends, if you've ever watched that 70s show, he is Joey. He is Kelso. He is like the idiot guy that makes the comment, like, everybody else might be there, and he can't quite get there. He's always missing the point. And so you get to this point where Jesus is talking, and they're going, the disciples are like, we can't go back to Judea. Remember, we just left Judea because they're going to kill you. And Jesus throws out a Jesusism, which is completely kingdom. He's completely talking in his own, like, realm of understanding. And Jesus says, aren't there 12 hours in a day? When it's light, you don't stumble. But those who walk in darkness stumble because they have no light in them. They don't know the light. And they're all like, oh, okay, what the heck does that mean? Well, it means Jesus is talking about 12 hours of light. That was a saying at that time that talked about you worked. In fact, they split those 12 hours into four chunks. And when it was light, you worked. And Jesus is saying, I've got work to do. See, God has called me and there's something happening right now. And we're headed there because God has put this in motion. And I'm not afraid of any silly Pharisees that think they're going to kill me because it's not my time. Dude, it's 11:30. I'm getting close, but there is still light and we are going and nobody can touch me because they have no light in them. They're stumbling. They can try whatever they want, but they're going to fail because I have a purpose right now. This is what he's saying in those two lines, and they're just like, okay, Jesus. And so he's like, he plays on the light. In fact, Lazarus is sleeping. So Lazarus thinks it's nighttime and we need to go wake him up because it's not his time to be done either. And they go, Jesus, if he's sick and he's sleeping, that's actually good because, you know, like rest, it makes you better. Let you sleep when you have a cold, you know. Jesus is like, no, he's dead. Okay, he's dead. He shouldn't be dead. We're going to go fix it. We're going to go make him alive because he's dead and it's not his time and I get to do whatever I want because I'm God. And I'm really glad that I didn't just go heal him because now you're going to see what I'm capable of and this is part of the long game. And Thomas comes in the classic like Joey Friends style and is like, all right, let's go die with Jesus. Completely misses everything that Jesus said at all. But his heart is right. His heart is devotion. His heart is, all right, Jesus, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't get what's going on here. But, dude, if you're going to go die, I'm going to go die. Because I will follow you off a cliff because I know that you're God. And there are times in our lives where we don't see the kingdom long game. But we follow Jesus anyway. And Thomas is that really good-natured screw guy that just is goofy, but he doesn't get it. But man, his heart loves Jesus. And so they go. And what happens is I see Jesus like he's headed, you know, he's gonna go do something that is gonna set the stage for what's coming. It's he's 11th hour on the whole mission of why he's on earth. And he's coming to it. And all of a sudden, when he gets there, his kingdom hits the earth kingdom smack in the face. Because remember, he sees the long game. But now he dives into the reality of what death is on earth. Because in heaven, death is something different. In heaven, death is actually reuniting with God, right? I mean, death is not a punishment. Death is just another step. But on earth, death is devastation. It robs us of everything that we knew. It changes everything. And he walks in ready to do kingdom, and he hits earth. And the first person that he hits is Martha. And Martha is a systems thinker. I love Martha. Martha gets a bad rap, but Martha's a systems thinker, right? She goes after Mary earlier in the story because Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, and that's not her place, and that's not her job, and she's not doing what she's supposed to do, and she needs to be over here. And Jesus goes, Martha, you're in the wrong system. And again, Martha hears that God is there. And she does what you're supposed to do. See, she relates to Jesus in the way that a lot of us relate to our Christianity. Something awful happened. I prayed and my prayers weren't answered, but I know that I'm supposed to stay faithful. I know that I'm supposed to keep up the deal. And so she goes to Jesus. Mary stays home. Mary is laid out. But Martha goes to Jesus. And she goes to Jesus honestly, and she says, if you had been here, he wouldn't be dead. I prayed. You didn't come. And Jesus comes at her with kingdom answers. And what happened is she had had people in her house the whole week, or the whole 4 days since Lazarus has died. And do you know how many times she's probably heard, you know, this isn't the end. You'll see him in heaven. Don't worry, you'll be reunited someday. How many times has she heard, you know, God loves you anyway, and this is probably for the best. All of the platitudes that we get as grieving people sometimes. And Jesus comes to her and he says, she says, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. And we know that she says that, but when Jesus tries to give it to her, she tells him that he shouldn't open this thing because it's going to stink. Like, she doesn't really believe necessarily that we're talking about resurrection here. She believes, I mean, God is here and he's going to help me through this. But the idea of kingdom, the idea of there could be a long game here is not in her thought process. And he goes, Martha, your brother will rise again. Like, he tries to give her the idea of why he's here. He's coming in kingdom. Martha, I'm going to raise him. And she's like, no, I know. I know that he's going to raise on the resurrection, and I'll see him in heaven. I get it. I know, I know, I know. I've been told. I know. And Jesus goes, no, Yahweh, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you're never going to die. Do you believe that? And she does what we all do. Yes, Jesus, I believe that you are God. I believe that you are the Messiah. Yes, I am not abandoning my faith just because you didn't make me happy. I believe it. Yes. And then she walks away. And she misses the kingdom long game. Sometimes we don't understand that God doesn't answer our prayers because his plans are something that's better and they're different. And we aren't going to lose our faith over it, but she's not trusting him right now the way that she usually would. And she goes and gets Mary and she says, Mary, Jesus is here and he's looking for you. You need to go. And Mary hits Jesus the way that Mary always hits Jesus, completely on an emotional level. We have systems thinkers, and then we've got puddles. And guess what? Mary's a puddle. And she heads for Jesus. And as we were singing today about the beauty of God and the beauty of who Jesus is and that he's all that we need, like, she's disappointed and she's heartbroken and she's afraid, but she just lays herself out at Jesus' feet. She says, Jesus, if you had been here, I wouldn't have died. What? What? And she just begins to cry. And Jesus gets hit in the face with humanity. Because Jesus is both. He's God and he sees the end from the beginning and he's got the long game. But all of a sudden, every bit of what Mary is walking through in that moment hits him like a ton of bricks. And God himself, even though he knows darn well that Lazarus is going to be alive in a couple minutes, weeps with Mary. His heart breaks for the heartbreak of his people. Because throughout this entire passage, it has talked about how he loves them. When he stayed, the words before Jesus stayed put were, Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And even when God has a long game in our lives, when we mourn, he mourns with us. Even when it's his fault, he's in the midst. And he will carry us through that. And he says, where have you laid him? And he goes, and he calls Lazarus out, and Lazarus raises, and everybody is freaking out. And Jesus knew the whole time. Because death is not final for him. He knows exactly what he's doing. And he's trying to teach them. See, when he talked about the 12-hour day, right? He knows that it's hour 11. He knows that he's getting to that point where in the next few chapters, in the next few days, this is coming for him. And he is trying to equip his people with light for when the darkness falls. Because when the darkness falls, they need to know for those 3 days that he's coming back. And this is him trying to give them a flashlight for 2 a.m. They miss it. I mean, they don't know. They lose that whole idea. In fact, Mary is, you know, one of the first ones to come find him. They're there as he rises and they don't understand it. And yet he needs them to see it. And he's working his long game. And so then you watch, it's like you watch then the darkness fall because it switches to the Pharisees. And I just imagine like the way that a movie switches from daytime to the Pharisees meeting at night by candlelight, you know? And there they are and they're all, oh, what are we going to do? He keeps healing people. He just raised a guy from the dead. If he keeps doing this, people are going to follow him. I'm literally quoting the Bible right now. If he keeps doing this, people are going to follow him. And if they follow him, we're going to lose our temple, and the Romans are going to come, and they're going to take our people. And the Pharisee, who is the one who is stumbling in the dark because he doesn't understand the light, prophesies the light. And he doesn't even get that he's part of the long game. He says, don't you understand that it's better for one to die for all? In fact, Caiaphas had prophesied that Jesus would die and that his death would bring the nations. And it would, I mean, they're prophesying everything that the Messiah is. And yet they're going to kill him because he calls himself the Messiah. And they can't have that. Because they're stumbling in the darkness because they don't recognize the light. And yet the light is using the dark to bring light to the world. And it's beautiful and a little bit terrifying, but really beautiful. Because God has his long game and no one ends it. They don't kill him when he goes to raise Lazarus. They kill him exactly when he's meant to be killed. And they do it thinking they're winning, and really what they're doing is actually making him the Messiah. They're taking part in the long game, and they needed to do exactly what they thought they were doing to thwart him. Because God is in control. Death and resurrection collide and resurrection wins. Kingdom and earth collide, and kingdom wins. Light and dark collide, and light wins. And it is so amazing to just breathe in the God that we serve in this passage. And to know that even when we are dumb, even when we don't see it, even when we're so blinded by the pain that we're surrounded by and the hopelessness, he has the end in mind. He's working it out, even though we are powerless to change it. And he's with us, and he's crying with us, and he's the shoulder, and he's the arms that we run to. And he doesn't reject us because we don't get it. He sticks us in the car and brings us down to watch, you know? He doesn't say, Thomas, you're so dumb, just stay. I can't even right now. He says, come on, Thomas. You think you're going to die, but I'm going to show you that death isn't part of the equation. I'm going to show you what you're going to need to know later. And Thomas, it's funny, is the one, after Jesus rises, that still doesn't get it. Everybody's like, no, seriously, Thomas, he's alive. And he's like, no, I don't believe you. Not until I touch him. I don't believe you. Because again, he just doesn't get it. But then, when he touches Jesus, he's all in. And there, the beauty, again, of this passage is that Jesus has followers from every corner. He's got the systems thinker. And you know what? She came at him with all the right answers, and she didn't get it. But he still raised her brother from the dead. And she tried to stop him even because she didn't get it. She's like, he's going to stink. He's been in there for 4 days, Jesus. This is not a good idea. And Jesus busts her system. He doesn't leave her behind. Mary comes at him like a puddle, like this big emotional just puddle. And he picks her up, and he loves her in it, and he brings her to the next phase. There's room in every stage of where we're at, and God will always meet us there. And he will always win in the end. And so, we have questions that we ask in our second service and we talk about. And I like to leave you with them in the first service to take home and think about. When in your life have you cried out to God and you didn't get the answer that you hoped for? When have you come to God and gone, if you had been here, he wouldn't be dead? When have you felt God walk you through something? When have you come to him as a puddle and he's just showed up? And even if he didn't fix it, him being there changed it. When's a time that his purpose in your pain made you better? It made you a better person. It gave you long game that you never would have had. In the biggest loss in my life, in the time that I almost walked away from God because he did not answer me, as I look back on that, I know the long game for who I am came out of that moment, came out of that time. The belief and the understanding of who God is and his goodness could not have come in my life without the testing of the trust. I would still be Martha with all the right answers if I hadn't been Mary laying at his feet with no words. And I needed that. When in your life, or maybe you're in the middle of the dark right now, watch for the long game. Have you ever had a time that something seemed impossible, but God made it possible? Martha came to Jesus and said, "Even now I believe that anything you ask for, God will give you." But resurrection wasn't one of those things that was on her brain at that moment. I'm sure she was thinking, you know, Jesus, you can make it so that we don't ever have to scrounge for food, the way that she's looking at her future, knowing that she needs to trust Jesus in that moment. The idea that this was all part of his plan and that resurrection was coming. What do you pray for in your life that's impossible? Are there times where you say, God, I believe that you can do the impossible, and then you actually believe that? Has there ever been a time that he's done the impossible in your life? And do you cling to that like a flashlight in the dark? Are you like the disciples who, when Jesus is dead, they forget about the resurrection? Or is there a resurrection moment that takes you through the next midnight hour in your life? Let's pray. God, I just thank you. God, I thank you that you are both God and man. Lord, that you will hold all things in your hand, that your long game is something that we could never understand. Lord, that you are not held bound by anything that we or anyone else could ever throw at you. God, you beat death itself. And yet, Lord, you walk through death with us. God, you walk through the grief process with us. You walk through all of the day-to-day, and you weep when we weep, even though you know that our tears are temporary. God, I thank you that you love us so much that you put up with us when we don't see what you see. And God, I thank you that when we devote ourselves to you and we say we will follow you even when we don't understand, God, you take us to places that we didn't know were possible. And Lord, I just lift up every struggle that's in this room, that's represented in this room, everything that we've been praying for in our lives and in other people's lives. God, nothing is impossible for you. And Lord, we just declare that today over the situations that we're facing. God, we trust in the power that raised Christ from the dead. Lord, you are all powerful in those situations. And Lord, we know that whatever your answer is, God, whether it's yes or no, whether it's now or later, God, your plan is so amazing. And your love is unfailing. And God, we just cling to that as a flashlight in the darkness. Lord, I lift up every need. And God, we just lay it at your feet. We lay ourselves at your feet, God, and we say you are worthy. And we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.